The House of Broken Pledges. The weight of the unspoken pact, the rain-drenched streets of Evria's capital city, Thalos, were always alive with whispers. Tonight was no different. I wove through the crowds, my footsteps quiet on the worn stone flags. A hood cast a shadow over my face, protecting the anonymity I prized in this city. My destination, the House of Broken Pledges. Valens were known for their unwavering loyalty to the Queen's cause, but also for their ruthless efficiency when maintaining balance. I'd come seeking an interview with one of their curators, though interview was a stretch. I didn't expect charity or favors. I offered what I could, information, and sometimes leverage. As I approached the Valen Manor's high gates, a pair of burly guards eyed me with interest. I gave them my name, along with a token of respect for their house, a small, intricately carved wooden pendant. The weight of it felt heavy in my hand, an expensive gesture, and one that earned me entry. The interior of the manor was just as imposing. Marble, polished to a high sheen, reflected the flickering candlelight with an icy glow. A Valen woman led me to a private room deep within the estate. She introduced herself as Curator Marcella. Her expression gave nothing away, yet I sensed a subtle wariness beneath. "Kael Varn," she said, her voice like silk over stone. "Your reputation precedes you. We don't often receive visits from your kind." "I come with something of interest," I replied, laying the pendant on the table between us. "Information about the Queen's recent decrees. There's been talk of changes within the Nightforge." Marcella's eyes narrowed. For an instant, her mask slipped. Curiosity flickered to life behind her expression, but it was quickly smothered. "We appreciate your candor," she said finally. "Tell us more." I took a sip from my cup, enjoying the bitter taste of dark tea as I spoke. The room was quiet, save for the sound of rain on the roof and Marcella's soft sips from her own cup. For several moments, we talked, trading information like a delicate dance. The cost of our conversation became apparent in the silence that followed. The air seemed heavier, thick with an unspoken understanding between us. It was a debt I'd pay later, one of memories or other favors. Curators didn't operate on charity, they traded in balance. As I stood to leave, Marcella handed me a small note with a single phrase, "The order's hand is long, but its reach is shorter." A warning, perhaps? Or something more? Stepping back into the rain-soaked streets of Evria, the phrase lingered on my lips like a cold kiss. The weight of the unspoken pact between us hung heavy in the air. I'd traded one secret for another. The rain-soaked streets swallowed me whole, a maze of shadowy alleyways and flickering torches that seemed to dance in time with my thoughts. I tucked the note into my jacket pocket, feeling the crumpled parchment like a promise or a threat, depending on how you interpreted it. Marcella's words echoed in my mind, "The order's hand is long, but its reach is shorter." The warning was clear: don't get too close to the Black Rose Order, and don't expect help if things went awry. But at what cost? Valens operated on balance, not charity. Marcella had taken a risk by sharing that phrase with me. As I walked, my thoughts collided with the rain-soaked streets like clashing steel. What was the true extent of the Queen's new decrees? The Nightforge rumors hinted at some kind of restructuring, perhaps a reorganization of power within the very heart of Evria's ruling body. If the Valens were involved, that implied they'd taken an interest in the Nightforge's inner workings. Why? And what lay behind Marcella's veiled warning? I quickened my pace, rainwater streaming down my face as I homed in on my next destination, a small, dingy tavern on the outskirts of town. The sign creaked in the wind, a battered wooden crescent moon with faded letters reading "Moonlit Rest." Inside, the air reeked of smoke and stale ale. A fire crackled in the hearth, casting shadows on the walls like grasping fingers. I spotted my mark, a hooded figure sitting in the corner, sipping a mug of dark liquid that might or might not be ale. The patrons here were colorful, a mix of dockworkers, city guards, and other souls who didn't quite fit in anywhere else. My target blended into this crowd, but I recognized the way they shifted when I approached. "Mind if I join you?" I asked, sliding onto the bench beside them. The hooded figure pushed back their headgear, revealing a familiar face, Altheon's cousin, Lyra. Her eyes flickered with unease as she scanned our surroundings before answering in a low voice, "Not at all, Kale. But make it quick, I'm waiting for someone." Lyra's words hung in the air like a challenge, and I took a sip of my ale to stall for time. We chatted about the usual topics, the latest market fluctuations, rumors about the city watch, and the weather, all the while keeping an ear out for any signs of trouble. Our conversation wove between the background noise of the tavern, but my focus remained on Lyra's nervous energy. She was hiding something, and I suspected it had to do with Altheon's disappearance. His cousin didn't strike me as the type to dawdle in uncertainty. Whatever she knew, she was keeping close to her chest. My eyes met hers across the mug of ale between us, a silent understanding that only intensified my interest in what she had to say. Our conversation looped back around to the Queen's decrees, and I caught a flicker of unease in Lyra's gaze. "Tell me, Kale," she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper, "have you heard anything about Altheon?" I nodded, setting my mug down on the table. The patrons nearby seemed engrossed in their own conversations, but I still kept my tone low. The last I knew, he was involved with one of the Queen's advisors trying to secure some sort of favor or trade agreement. Lyra's eyes narrowed, and she leaned in closer. "I think it went sour. Altheon's been missing for a fortnight now. If anyone knows anything, they're not talking." A gust of wind slammed against the tavern doors, making the wooden sign creak ominously outside. I exchanged a glance with Lyra, her unease mirroring my own. We both knew that in Thalos, information was currency and the Queen's secrets were priceless. A tap on the shoulder interrupted our conversation, and I turned to face a grizzled old man who introduced himself as Graham, a retired dock worker with a talent for gathering rumors. "Mind if I join you? The company seems stimulating." He plopped down between us, his eyes glinting with a mixture of curiosity and mischief. Lyra's eyes flickered towards me before she stood up, a hint of relief in her expression. "I think I'll take a walk," she said abruptly. "Nice talking to you both, but I have some other business to attend to." Her departure left an uncomfortable silence between Graham and me. I gestured for him to continue his story, intrigued by the prospect of new information. Graham launched into a tale about the Night Verge's supposed changes, citing rumors of internal strife among its ruling council. His words wove together with my own encounters, Marcella's veiled warning, Lyra's unease, and the whispered talk of restructuring within the Queen's decrees. The room seemed to grow darker as Graham spoke on, his words spilling like a slow-moving fire that crept under my skin. I sipped my ale, weighing the threads of information he provided against what I already knew. Pieces began to fit together, or at least, they seemed to align with Marcella's enigmatic phrase, "The Order's hand is long, but its reach is shorter." It was clear now that the Valens' interest in the Night Verge went beyond mere curiosity. They were poised to take a significant step into the heart of Avaria's power structure. But what motivated them? And how did Altheon fit into this web of intrigue? My mind turned with questions as Graham concluded his story, the tavern growing quieter around us. The silence that followed was interrupted by a hooded figure slipping into the moonlit rest, someone I recognized. A figure from my past, one I thought I'd left far behind in the city's lower districts, Kaelin Darkhaven, the master of the Black Rose Order's Nightstalkers. His arrival cast a cold shadow over our small table, his presence like a ripple disturbing the surface of still water. Kaelin's eyes locked onto me, his gaze piercing as a winter dawn. The air seemed to thicken around us, heavy with unspoken words and half-remembered promises. Graham cleared his throat, breaking the silence that hung like a challenge between us. "Ah, Kale Darkhaven, good to see you again. Though I didn't know you frequented this establishment. Kaelin's attention flickered to Grem before returning to me, his expression unreadable. The patrons nearby had fallen silent, sensing the tension building around our table. Lyra's departure was still fresh in my mind, and I wondered if she'd been a pawn or an unwitting player in Kaelin's game. His voice was low and measured as he slid onto the bench beside me, his eyes never leaving mine. "Kael, you seem to be stirring up trouble again. What brings you to this humble establishment?" I sipped my ale, the cold liquid a poor substitute for the chill that had settled in my veins. Kaelin's presence was a reminder of a past I'd rather forget, the city's underbelly, where allegiances were tested and broken. "Just enjoying the company, Kaelin. And Grem here was sharing some interesting stories about the Nightforge." Talon's eyes narrowed, his attention shifting to the old man beside me. "Rumors, I presume? It seems you found a new interest in local politics, Grem." Grem's expression turned guarded, and he leaned back in his chair. "Just sharing what passes for news these days, Kaelin. No need to take it too seriously." Kaelin's gaze lingered on the old man before returning to me. His voice took on a measured tone, one that sent a shiver down my spine. "I think we've said enough for tonight. It's been enlightening, as always, Kaelin Darkhaven." He pushed back from the table, his eyes never leaving mine as he stood to leave. The patrons of the Moonlit Rest seemed to hold their collective breath, waiting for whatever came next. The air in the tavern was heavy with anticipation, and I felt Lyra's absence acutely. Was she still watching? Had Kaelin come here seeking me out, or was this a coincidence? The question swirled in my mind as I watched him disappear into the rain-soaked night, leaving Grem and me to our respective thoughts. The old man spoke up, breaking the silence that had settled over us like a shroud. "You two have history, don't you? A complicated one, at that." His eyes sparkled with a mix of curiosity and wariness as he leaned in closer. I nodded, my attention drifting back to Grem. "We do. And it seems some of those complications just walked into our lives again." The tavern's fire crackled, casting flickering shadows on the walls as I reached for my ale, the drink no longer able to soothe my parched throat. The patrons of the Moonlit Rest seemed to hold their collective breath, waiting for whatever came next. I finished my ale in a few swift swallows, the bitter taste lingering on my tongue as I set the mug back down. The fire crackled on, casting flickering shadows on the walls that seemed to dance with Grem's tale of intrigue and power struggles within the Nightforge. Outside, rain drummed against the roof, a relentless beat that seemed to match the pounding in my chest. "You were saying something about Altheon," I said, my voice firm as I turned to face Grem. "Before Kaelin Darkhaven arrived." The old man's expression was thoughtful, his eyes clouded over like the stormy night outside. "Ah, yes, Altheon. A good man and a loyal one, from what I've gathered. Involved with some of the more unsavory characters in town, but he had a good heart." He paused, studying me intently before continuing, his voice barely above a whisper. "I think you know more about Altheon's disappearance than you're letting on, Kael." The air seemed to thicken around us, heavy with unspoken accusations and unmet expectations. I shifted uncomfortably in my seat, aware that Grem was probing for information he suspected I already knew, or at least, suspected I should know. The weight of his words hung between us, a tangible presence that made it hard to draw breath. A commotion erupted outside, the sound of shouting and scuffling muffled by the rain-soaked streets. The patrons of the Moonlit Rest exchanged uneasy glances, their faces illuminated only by the flickering firelight. Grem's eyes narrowed, his expression tight with concern as he stood up from the table. "Sounds like trouble outside," he muttered, moving towards the entrance. "Wait," I said, my hand grasping for his arm, but he was already gone, disappearing into the rain-soaked chaos that now swirled outside the tavern. The patrons of the Moonlit Rest seemed to hold their collective breath, waiting for whatever came next, and I was left alone, trapped in a sea of shadows and unspoken questions. The storm raging outside seemed to match the turmoil within me, my mind racing with possibilities and accusations. Had Grem been seeking to warn me, or draw me further into his web of rumors and half-truths? And what did Kaelin Darkhaven's arrival mean for me, for Altheon, and for the fragile balance of power in Everia? The night seemed to stretch out before me like an endless void, full of hidden dangers and unseen threats. The storm raged on outside, its fury unabated as I stood up from my chair, my eyes scanning the faces of the patrons in the moonlit rest for any sign of Grem's return. The fire crackled and spat, casting flickering shadows on the walls that seemed to dance with an otherworldly energy. I spotted a figure huddled by the window, hood pulled over their head, but it wasn't Grem, just another patron trying to escape the tempest outside. A commotion near the entrance broke the silence, and a young man stumbled into the tavern, shaking rain from his hair as he caught sight of me. His eyes widened, and he took a step back, as if recoiling from something he'd seen in my face. "Kaelin's here," he muttered to himself before looking around frantically for someone, anyone, to confirm what I already knew. He spotted the barkeep and rushed over, his words spilling out in a rush. "Vesro, I've got to talk to Kael Darkhaven, it can't wait." The barkeep's expression turned wary as he nodded curtly, pointing down the corridor that led to the back rooms. "You'll find him with Lyra, but be quick about it, boy. We don't need any more trouble tonight." I watched the young man dash off, his footsteps echoing through the silent tavern like a promise of things to come. The fire seemed to have died down, the shadows cast by its embers growing longer and darker as if feeding off the tension in the air. I spotted Kaelin's chair at our table, empty except for the ale mug he'd left behind his seat, still warm from his presence. The rain outside continued to drum against the roof, a steady beat that echoed the pounding in my chest. I stood there for what felt like an eternity, my eyes drawn back to the entrance as I waited for Grem's return or another development in this strange game of cat and mouse. But it seemed the night was determined to keep me guessing and on edge. I spotted a figure slipping out into the rain, hood up against the wind, but before I could make out any features, they vanished into the darkness. The storm showed no signs of abating. If anything, its fury seemed to be intensifying as the winds howled through the city's narrow streets like a chorus of restless spirits. I took a step forward, my footfalls echoing off the walls as I followed the departing figure out into the rain-soaked night. But they were gone, swallowed up by the darkness that seemed to writhe and twist around me like a living thing. My eyes scanned the deserted alleyway, searching for any sign of Grem or the mysterious figure, but all I saw was the rain-streaked brickwork and the dark silhouettes of buildings looming overhead. The air reeked of wet earth and smoke, a primordial scent that seemed to stir something deep within me, a memory, perhaps, or a warning. I stood there for what felt like an age, waiting for some sign of movement or sound, but it was as if the city itself had swallowed all noise and motion whole. I raised my face to the rain, letting its icy droplets wash over me, hoping to clear my mind and see through the tangled threads of this strange game we were all playing. The rain-soaked night seemed to close in around me like a shroud, heavy with secrets and half-remembered promises, and I was alone, lost in its midst, with only my wits and my instincts to guide me. I took a slow turn, my eyes scanning the narrow alleyway for any sign of life. The rain dripped from the eaves above, creating a steady patter that was almost soothing, but I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Every so often, a gust of wind would whip through, sending trash swirling around my feet and making me duck reflexively. I walked a little farther down the alley, peering into the darkness between buildings for any sign of Grem or the hooded figure. As I turned a corner, I spotted a faint light flickering in the distance, a candle or lantern, perhaps held by someone huddled against the wall. My heart quickened with a mix of hope and wariness as I approached. The person didn't seem to have noticed me yet, lost as they were in their own contemplation. I slowed my pace, not wanting to startle them, but as I drew closer, they looked up and our eyes met for a fleeting instant. The figure's hood fell back, revealing a tangle of dark hair and a face that was all too familiar. Alfion's daughter, Ilara. She regarded me with an unreadable expression, her eyes narrowing slightly as if sizing me up before she spoke in a low voice, "What are you doing here?" Her words were laced with accusation, but I couldn't quite pinpoint what she meant by them. I hesitated for a moment before answering, unsure of how much to reveal. "Looking for Graham," I said finally, trying to keep my tone neutral. Ilara's gaze flickered towards the entrance of the alley, her expression growing more guarded. "He's not here," she said. "But I think you're looking in the wrong place."